भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 22। त एते भगवद्रूपम् विश्वं सद् असद् आत्मकम् आत्मनो व्यतिरिकेण पश्यन्तो व्यचरन् महीम्। त एते भगवद्रूपम् विश्वं सदसदात्मकम् आत्मनो व्यतिरेकेन पश्यन्तो व्यचरन् महिम्। त एते भगवद्रूपम् विश्वं सदसदात्मकम् आत्मनो व्यतिरेकेन पश्यन्तो व्यचरन् महिम्। तैते भगवद्रूपम् विश्वं सदसदात्मकम् आत्मनो व्यतिरेकेन तैते भगवद्रूपम् विश्वं सदसदात्मकम् आत्मनो व्यतिरेकेन पश्यन्तो व्यचरन् महीम्। तैते भगवद्रूपम् विश्वं सदसदात्मकम् आत्मनो व्यतिरेकेन पश्यन्तो व्यचरन् महीम्। माताजी तैते दीज नाइन योगेंद्रस भगवत ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड रूपम अ फॉर्म विश्वम द एंटायर यूनिवर्स सत असत आत्मकम कंसिस्टिंग ऑफ बोथ ग्रॉस एंड सटल ऑब्जेक्ट्स आत्मनः फ्रॉम द सेल्फ अव्यतिरेकेन एज नॉन डिफरेंट पश्यन्तः सीइंग व्यचरन् दे वॉन्डर्ड महिम द अर्थ। Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. These sages wandered the earth seeing the entire universe with all its gross and subtle objects as a manifestation of the Supreme Lord and as non-different from the Self. Purport. It's a long purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, it is clearly demonstrated in this and the following verse that the nine saintly sons of Rishabhadev, known as the Navayogendras, were situated in the highest stage of spiritual perfection called Paramhamsya Charitam, or having fully developed the character of Paramhamsas. In other words, they were pure devotees of the Lord. According to Sridhar Swami and Jiva Goswami, the words Atmano Vyatirekena indicate that the nine sages saw the universe as being non-different from themselves, as well as non-different from the Supreme Soul, Lord Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has additionally commented, Atmanah Paramatmanah Sat Asad Avyatirekena Vishwasya Tat Shakti Mayatvad Iti Bhavah. Atmanah indicates the super soul. This universe is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, since the entire universe is composed of His energy. Although it is stated here that the cosmic manifestation is none different from both the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not think that either the living entity or the Supreme Lord is material. A Vedic aphorism states, Asango hi ayam purushah. The living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead have nothing to do with the material world. Furthermore, Bhagavad Gita says that the entire universe, consisting of 8 gross and subtle elements, constitute the bhinna prakriti or apara prakriti, the separated inferior energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna clearly states in Bhagavad Gita that he has eternally established his own abode in the kingdom of God, where life is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and that the living entity, being part and parcel of God, is also eternal. Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhutah sanatanah. Furthermore, once having gone to that eternal abode of the Lord, the living entity never returns to this temporary manifestation. Yam prapya na nivartante taddhama paramam mama. One may therefore ask why the living entity and the Supreme Lord are stated to be none different from the material universe. The question is very nicely answered by Srila Narada Muni in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.20. Idam hi vishwam bhagavan ivetaro yato jagat sthana nirodha sambhavah. The Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is himself this cosmos, and still he is aloof from it. From him only has this cosmic manifestation emanated. In him it rests, and unto him it enters after annihilation. Commenting on Narada's statement, Srila Prabhupada has very nicely explained in this delicate philosophical point. For a pure devotee, the conception of Mukunda, Lord Krishna, is both personal and impersonal. The impersonal cosmic situation is also Mukunda, because it is the emanation of the energy of Mukunda. For example, a tree is a complete unit, whereas the leaves and branches of the tree are emanated parts and parcels of the tree. The leaves and branches of the tree are also the tree, but the tree itself is neither the leaves nor the branches. The Vedic version that the whole cosmic creation is nothing but Brahman means that since everything is emanating from the Supreme Brahman, nothing is apart from him. Similarly, the part and parcel, hands and legs, are called body. But the body as a whole unit is neither the hands nor the legs. The Lord is the transcendental form of eternity, cognition and beauty. And thus, the creation of the energy of the Lord appears to be partially eternal, full of knowledge and beautiful also. The purport goes ahead, but we'll not continue with that. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So beautiful purport from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But tomorrow happens to be the auspicious occasion of Ram Navami, so I'll just discuss something from Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. Personally speaking, I don't have much knowledge about Ramayana, but I'll just try to repeat something that we have heard from other devotees. Over the past many ages, there have been many devotees of the Lord, many great devotees who have narrated these beautiful pastimes of Lord Sri Ramachandra. In South India, there is the beautiful Kamba Ramayan, which Kamba Muni has narrated in very nice poetic verses. In North India, there is Ramcharitmanas, narrated by Tulsidas. And Srila Prabhupada, he used to quote from the narrations of Valmiki Muni, Valmiki Ramayana. So Valmiki Muni, there has been a very couple of very nice, beautiful analogies given for Valmiki Muni, how he has been glorified. So one of the verses compares Valmiki Muni to a cuckoo. Kujantam Ram Rameti Madhuram Madhuraksharam Aruhya Kavita Shakham Vande Valmiki Kokilam. So Valmiki Muni is compared to a beautiful cuckoo who in his sweet voice is narrating the sweet pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Kujantam Ram Rameti Madhuram Madhuraksharam. The verses of Ramayana, they are very madhur. The words of Ramayana, they are very madhur. And Valmiki Muni, in his sweet voice, he is reciting the verses of Ramayana. Further it is said, Aruhya Kavita Shakham. The Vedas, if the Vedas can be compared to a tree, one of the branches of the tree of Vedas is poetry. And it is mentioned, Aruhya Kavita Shakham. Valmiki Muni, seated on that tree of poetry, is singing in his sweet voice the sweet narrations of Ramayana. Aruhya Kavita Shakham, Vande Valmiki Kokilam. There is another beautiful verse which compares Valmiki Muni to a very powerful lion. One side is the comparison to a beautiful cuckoo, to Kokila. And another verse compares him to a powerful lion. Valmiki Muni Simhasya Kavita Vanacharinaha Shrunvan Ram Kathanadam Konayanti Paramgatim. So Valmiki Muni, as a powerful lion, he is powerfully broadcasting the message of Lord Ramchandra or the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. And Kavita Vanacharinaha, and all the living entities are benefiting from the narrations of Valmiki Muni. Shrunavan Rama Kathanadam Konayanti Paramgatim. Hearing these beautiful pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, Valmiki Muni is asking, who will not achieve the most ultimate benefit? The ultimate benefit. So actually this is a rhetoric question. Valmiki Muni is stating here that by hearing the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, anyone and everyone is bound to achieve the ultimate liberation, the ultimate goal of life. Many years back, His Grace Gopi Paranandhana Prabhu, who is no more here on this planet with us, he had come here to our temple and he was explaining that how in this whole world, in the entire creation of the Lord, all the different sound vibrations that are there, any sound that can be emanated from our throats,
they can be traced back to the seven syllables, sa, re, ga, ma, pa, dha, ni, sa. And these seven syllables, it is explained, they have their origin in a spiritual sound which is known as nada. And he was mentioning that the great hatha yogis, the spiritual practitioners who try to practice spirituality by means of yoga practices, when these yogis, they perfect their spiritual practice and they are able to perfectly control their senses and they shut their senses from the outside world and they are able to look within themselves, looking for the Supreme Personality of Godhead within themselves. So it is mentioned at one point of time, these yogis, they are able to hear that original sound, the source of all sound, which is the spiritual sound that is known as nada. So here Valmiki Muni is compared to a lion who is extolling the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra, and these pastimes are compared to as Ramanatha Nadam. So therefore these pastimes of Lord Ramchandra, they are not any other normal sound vibration. These are transcendental sound vibrations which have the capacity to destroy the sinful reactions of all the living entities. Kavita Vanacharinaha. And by doing so, here Valmiki Muni is giving all of us an opportunity to achieve that Param Gatim, to get out of this cycle of repeated birth and death, outside this material world, into the Brahma Jyoti, and into the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Vaikuntha planets in Ayodhya. Like that. So I just thought of describing some qualities of Lord Ramchandra that is described by Valmiki Muni. It is said that the personality, the appearance of Lord Ramchandra is that of Maryada Purushottam. The Lord is, the incarnation of Lord is that of Maryada Purushottam. So in the Balakand of Ramayana, the first canto we may call it, the Balakand of Ramayana, there are only 8 verses that describe the childhood of Lord Ramachandra. Only 8 verses. The pastimes of Lord Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami is describing the childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna in 47 chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. 47 chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam for Lord Krishna, and for Lord Ramachandra only 8 verses. Why? Because it is said that the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra are meant for learning lessons. Whereas the pastimes of Lord Krishna, they are for relishing those pastimes. And therefore the pastimes of Lord Krishna, they have been elaborately described by Sukadeva Goswami in 47 chapters. Whereas the pastimes, the childhood pastimes of Lord Ramchandra, only 8 verses. So every incarnation of the personality of Godhead has specific rasa, a specific flavor that they, you know, offer. The life of Lord Ramchandra, they are meant to help us understand certain very valuable lessons. And the pastimes of Lord Krishna, the prominent feature of the pastimes of Lord Krishna is Leela. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they describe the magnanimous feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is explained that every incarnation of the Supreme Lord has a specific flavor to offer to all of us. If we don't like one particular flavor, the Lord appears in a different flavor. Lord Narasimha Dev, he doesn't appear in a childhood pastimes. No verses describing the childhood form of Lord Narasimha Dev. Lord Narasimha Dev just comes open and there is action. No childhood pastimes, no youthful activities, just direct action. But then other incarnations of the Supreme Lord, they are filled with a different flavor. An example is given, just like in a feast that we have on the festival days, there are different items, different tastes in a complete feast. So there are sweet items, there are sour items, there is namkeen, and there is all different items. So it is not that even though we may like the sweet, we just take the sweet. No, we prefer to have all the different combinations, and that is what makes a complete feast. So similarly, the pastimes of Lord Krishna, they are very sweet in nature, and of course, they also have their own lessons. But specifically here, the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra, they are very, very instructive. So this is Balakand, first chapter, in verses 2nd till 4th, 2nd, 3rd and 4th verses of the Balakand of Ramayana. Valmiki Muni is describing 16 qualities of Lord Ramachandra. We may not have time to go through all the qualities, but then we'll see. So the second verse he describes, Konvasmin sampratam loke gunavan kascha viryavan dharmagyascha kritagyascha satya vakyo dhridavrataha. Konvasmin, Valmiki Muni is asking Narad Muni, that who in this entire creation is such a personality who is having all these 16 qualities in himself. The first quality he is mentioning is Gunavan. Now, Guna itself means a quality. So, Gunavan, by referring to the word Gunavan, Valmiki Muni is actually emphasizing that everyone in this world may have different qualities. Everyone has a set of qualities. But then, not anyone is appreciated, not everyone appreciates us for the qualities that we may have. We may have certain qualities with us, but that is not appreciated by one and everyone. But then a great personality who is appreciated for his unique qualities, he is a Gunavan. And Valmiki Muni specifically refers to one particular quality of Lord Ramachandra, which is known as Saushilya. What is this quality of Saushilya? Valmiki Muni describes that Saushilya means a great personality who has three characteristics, who has very high birth, who has immense amount of wealth, and who has tremendous wisdom. So great personality who is born in a very high lineage, who has a very high birth, and who has a tremendous amount of wealth, and who has tremendous amount of wisdom. Now, each of these qualities, if we see in this world, they become a source of pride for people. Kunti Maharani mentions that anyone born out of high parentage, having huge amount of wealth, and having high knowledge, it is very difficult for them to, you know, take to spiritual life. And similarly, Prabhupada used to say that in this world, even a beggar is proud of his penny. So any person in this world who is born in a very high family, who has tremendous amount of wealth, and who has large wisdom, it is very difficult for them to come down and mix with normal people. If people they are very, very rich, it is very difficult for them to, you know, come down to a very level of the common people and mix with them, interact with them, and, you know, share what they have with them. And similarly, people who have, you know, very high knowledge, sometimes they are in their own world. There is an instance, one time Albert Einstein, he was traveling with the Prime Minister of Israel across the Atlantic, and they were traveling from Europe to America. And in America, there was a whole group of reporters and press people who had gathered to receive this Prime Minister. And when they finally crossed the Atlantic, so everyone approaches this Prime Minister of Israel and they ask him that you had a long journey with Albert Einstein, and recently he has come up with his big theory of relativity, so, you know, you must have had this great discussion on this theory. And the Prime Minister said, yes, yes, we had a very long discussion and we had a really nice conversation. So then the press people asked him, what did you understand? The Prime Minister said, I understood that he has understood what he has presented very nicely. So whatever that theory would have been, no, he knows his stuff very nicely. But as far as I am concerned, as far as a common person is concerned, I was unable to understand what he actually meant. So this is just an example of how in this world people who are very highly learned, His Grace Gaurang Prabhu shares his experience. One time they had been into a conference at Kolkata, and this was some scientific conference, and His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was also there, and they were attending for, since morning they had been attending, and during lunch time, Maharaj asked Gaurang Prabhu that you must be understanding all that is being spoken. But then Gaurang Prabhu honestly admitted, no, everything is just, out of my own understanding even. So sometimes, yes, people who are very learned, it is very difficult for them to make their stuff understandable in common parlance to people in general. People who are very wealthy, it is very difficult for them to come down and mix with common people. And people who have very high amount of wisdom, not always it is possible for them to share it with others. But in the example of Lord Ramchandra, Lord Ramchandra had this unique quality of saushilya. He was willing to come down from his high birth. He was born in the Surya Vamsha dynasty. From the Surya Vamsha dynasty, he was here walking in the forest, mixing with people who were not born out of such high parentage. He was from the kingdom of Ayodhya. I mean, the wealth of Ayodhya was simply incomparable to anyone else. And here was Lord Ramchandra mixing with the sages in the forest who had practically no wealth. And then Lord Ramchandra had huge amount of wisdom. But then he was again walking with people and walking even with the monkeys of Kishkindha. So Lord Ramachandra, he comes down and here is wanting to cross the Ganges and he meets the king, aborigine king Guha. Now King Guha, he was not either born in a high parentage, neither did he have wealth anywhere close to the wealth of Ayodhya, and nor did he have any amount of high wisdom. But Lord Ramachandra became so friendly, so that Guha had such sweet interactions with them, with the Lord. It is explained that when Guha was about to take Lord Ramchandra, Sita and Lakshman across river Ganges, he asks Lord that I first want to wash your feet. So the Lord asks, why do you want to wash my feet? And Guha mentions that just some time back you were there in Chitrakoot. And in Chitrakoot, I heard this story that you placed your foot on a piece of stone and that stone turned into a woman. So I know for sure that the dust of your lotus feet is very, very powerful. And here is my boat, which is inanimate, just like a stone. And if your dust from your lotus feet touches this boat, and this boat turns into a woman, I already have a wife. It will be very difficult for me to maintain another. So therefore I want to, wash your feet very nicely. So then Guha, he pours water on the Lord's feet and he drinks the Charnamrit. Once again, he takes water from the Ganges and he washes the feet of Lord Ramachandra. And he distributes that Charnamrit to all his ministers, to Lakshman. But then he looks at Mother Sita, and he doesn't give even a drop to Mother Sita. And Mother Sita is, puzzled. Why is that I am not the recipient of the Charnamrit of Lord Ramchandra? So Acharyas explain that how Guha, he was actually a tortoise in the Garbhodak Sagar. And one time, this tortoise in the Garbhodak Ocean, he crawled upon Anantasesh, on which the Lord lies as Mahavishnu, and he began licking the lotus toe of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of Garbhodakshai Vishnu. And Lakshmi Devi, she got annoyed that what is this, filthy creature from the ocean, he's coming up all the way and he's trying to lick the feet of the Lord. So she just picked him up and threw him back into the ocean. So here Guha, he was remembering that interaction. And here is he drinking that Charnamrit, and he is kind of, you know, showing to Mother Sita, at that point of time, you did not allow me to have the Charnamrit of the Supreme Lord. And here I am, now the tables have turned. Here I am relishing the Charnamrit, you will have to just watch it. Like that. So, such a beautiful interaction with a tribal king Guha. Going ahead, Lord Ramachandra, he mixes with the Vanaras of Kishkinda. Now, Sugriva, he was a monkey king, right? Not a very high birth, not having high amount of wealth, and just engrossed in sense gratification. What to call of wisdom? I mean, after they had this pact made that, you know, Lord Ramachandra will kill Vali and then Sugriva will assist Lord Ramachandra in search for Mother Sita. So, you know, as Vali is killed, immediately there is the fourth month of the Chaturmasya season. And then Sugriva, the search cannot be continued. So then Sugriva is told that, okay, we'll meet back again after 4 months of the Chaturmasya season. But then once the 4 months of Chaturmasya is over, Lord Ramachandra sees that this Sugriva has just forgotten about the whole episode. Now he has two wives. He has Tara and he has Ruma. His own wife and the wife of Bali. And he is just busy in sense gratification. He has forgotten the vow that was made prior to the Chaturmasya. And Lakshman, he has to go and remind Guha. He has to go and remind Sugriva of the, you know, promise that had been made. And of course, Sugriva then realizes, and then the friendship between Lord Ramachandra and Sugriva is very, very phenomenal. So here is Lord Ramachandra, born out of a very high parentage from such a great lineage, having a tremendous amount of wealth, but he is coming down from his position of that high parentage, of that high, you know, stature, and he is mixing with the Vanara Sena. He is mixing with the, you know, Aborigine King Guha. He is mixing with Sugriva. A similar instance is present in the character of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is described that he also distributed his mercy irrespective of the qualification or disqualification of the audience. Patra patra na dekhi sthana sthana. He gave his mercy to big scholars like Prakashanand Saraswati. He gave his mercy to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. At the same time, he gave his mercy to all the, you know, villagers of all the residents of the South India during his South India tour, without having any, you know, discrimination. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is again the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, born in a Brahmana family like that. But then he is giving his mercy to everyone and transforming everyone. And of course, in our own case, in the current context, we have the beautiful example of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, born in such a big Vaishnav family, such a scholarly person. I mean, the books of Srila Prabhupada, they have been appreciated by scholars from all over the world. Such a scholarly person, having tremendous amount of wisdom. And here is Srila Prabhupada going all the way from the spiritual atmosphere of Vrindavan to the atmosphere of the 21st Second Avenue, right? The place of the hippies. And Prabhupada did not think twice to give his mercy to, whether he should be giving his mercy to only select people in the United States. No, Prabhupada was there available for anyone and everyone. He was having his classes in the matchless gifts. And then anyone would walk in, there was no questions asked about their background, about their whereabouts. No, anyone and everyone was welcome into the fold of Srila Prabhupada. This is what is the quality of Saushilya that is being emphasized by Valmiki Muni. Srila Prabhupada, it is described that he used to preach to the heads of the states. He used to preach to the religious leaders. At the same time, he used to preach to just the common hippies in America. He preached to the great grandson of Henry Ford, such a, you know, someone from a very rich background. At the same time, he used to preach to someone who is just fallen in a, you know, gutter in the streets, like that. So that was the uncompromising mercy of Srila Prabhupada. One time Srila Prabhupada, he was present in the, he was giving a talk on the terrace of the Juhu temple, ISKCON Juhu temple. And that time the construction of the temple was on its way, way back in the 1970s. And a man just walked up to the terrace and he was very dirty. I mean, he had just a gamcha wrapped around his body. His whole body was soiled and looked like he was one of the construction workers who was there, you know, who was working over there. And this person, he just came with a flower to Srila Prabhupada and he offered this flower at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very much touched by this, you know, gesture of this person. And he made a comment to his devotees that look at this person. This person is a very, you know, poor person. He doesn't have much wealth. He's not a great person. But then he has that attitude of, you know, coming to me and offering this flower to me. So if a person like me can be touched by this small gesture of a common man, don't you think Krishna is touched when he says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, Yome Bhaktiya Prayachati, Tadaham Bhakti Upahritam, Ashnami Prayatatmanaha. Anyone who offers Krishna a piece of flower, a fruit, or some water, now don't you think Krishna will be pleased within his heart? So that is the quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that it is not that just because he is born in a very high family, or he has a huge amount of wealth, or he has huge amount of wisdom, even though he had that, he was willing to come down and mix with common people. He was approachable to them. Just like we saw the example of, you know, Lord Ramchandra mixing with the tribal king Guha, mixing with Sugriva and all the other monkey soldiers. The next quality that is described by Valmiki Muni is Viryavan. Konvasmin sampratam loke gunavan kascha viryavan. Viryavan refers to one who is very courageous. Vishwamitra Muni, when he takes Lord Ramchandra from the kingdom of Ayodhya to kill all the demons that are creating a nuisance. So Vishwamitra Muni, he takes them on the outskirts of the forest. And they spend the night there. And for the first time, Ram and Lakshman, they're not very grown up, they're just little boys. Ram and Lakshman, they are sleeping on the ground, out of the palatial comforts of Ayodhya. They're sleeping on the ground of the forest, under the starlit sky. And the next morning, when Vishwamitra gets up, he sees the beauty of these two boys and is enchanted by the beauty of these two boys. And that is when, for the first time, he recites this prayer. Kaushalya Supraja Rama Purva Sandhya Pravartate Uttishta Narsar Dula Kartavyam Deva Manikam. That, O sons of Kaushalya, please rise up. The sun has already risen in the eastern direction. But this sun that has risen in the eastern direction can only illuminate the world outside. Whereas unless and until you get up, how will you illuminate the hearts of the people inside? So this sun that has risen up can just remove the darkness of ignorance that is present in the outside. But for you it is very important to rise up and illuminate the hearts of the people, so that the ignorance within their hearts is also dispelled. And then Vishwamitra Muni actually trains Ram and Lakshman into the arts of archery, into how to shoot bows and arrows, and he teaches them different mantras, and then they walk into the forest. And the first demon that they encounter is Tataka. Now Tataka is a lady, and Lord Ramachandra, small little boy Ram, he is confused that, you know, how can I kill a lady here? A similar instance we see in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. When Krishna is just a small baby, the first demoness that arrives there to kill him is Putana. And Krishna, he just closes his eyes that how can he, you know, start my demon killing business with a lady. So Lord Ram, he questions Vishwamitra Muni that how can I kill this lady demon? But then Vishwamitra Muni says that yes, she is a lady, but then she is a demoness. And therefore, the purpose of your incarnation is to save the, and she has been creating this havoc in this area, preventing all the sadhus from doing their austerities and sacrifices, and therefore she needs to be killed. And then Lord Rama, he actually kills this lady Tataka, this demon Tataka. So it is explained that Tataka actually represents avidya, ignorance. So if this people in this world, unless and until the people, the ignorance of the people is dispelled, what is that ignorance? It is explained. This is the ignorance of the self, the ignorance of the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and ignorance of the relationship that each and every one of us have with the Supreme Lord. And this ignorance is actually the root cause of all the suffering in the material world. All the suffering that people in this material world are experiencing is because of this ignorance of this relationship with the Supreme Lord. And therefore, by the process of Krishna consciousness, we need to endeavor to kill off this ignorance. And therefore, the devotees of the Lord, they take shelter of the holy names of the Lord, the holy names of Lord Ramchandra, and the description of the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. By hearing those descriptions of the pastimes of the Lord and by hearing the holy names of the Lord, they have that potency that dispels the ignorance within the heart. And that is when the demon of ignorance within the heart also gets killed. So then Lord Ram, he kills this demon Tataka, and they move ahead. The next demon that they encounter is Subahu. Lord Ram is again instructed by Vishwamitra Muni which weapon to use, and then Lord Ram uses the Bala weapon to kill off Subahu. So it is explained that Subahu represents the past sinful reactions that we may have. One time there was a person, Prabhupada was speaking in a Pandal program in India, and this person came up to Srila Prabhupada. And it was a Hindi program, basically. And he started challenging Prabhupada. Kya Swami ji, aap kya bol rahe hain? Paap chhod do, paap chhod do. Bhagwan bolte hain, paap chhod do. So Prabhupada said, kisne bola? Kisne bola ki Krishna kehte hain, paap chhodo? Bhagwan nahi kehte hain, paap chhodo. No, the Lord doesn't say, leave the, sins. The Lord says, leave all the other varieties of religion that you are engaged in, all the other varieties of dharma that you are engaged in, and just surrender unto me. If you just surrender unto me, I will take care of all the sinful reactions that you have. Otherwise, dealing with the sinful reactions is not your cup of tea. It is not possible for each of us to deal with the huge amount of sinful baggage that we may be carrying. But then Krishna instructs in the Gita that if there is this just surrender unto the Supreme Lord, then the Lord will take care of killing these past sinful reactions and promote us unto His lotus feet. And therefore, Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma glorifies, Karmani Nirdahati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The sinful reactions that have been accumulated since time immemorial, since past so many births, of we may not have even, any account of, all those sinful reactions can be finished just by the practice of devotional service. And going ahead, then the next demon that they encounter is Maricha. Now the Lord kills Tataka, the Lord kills Subahu, but the Lord doesn't kill Maricha. He just shoots Maricha, and Maricha is flung into the ocean 800 miles away. So Acharya is explaining what this Maricha represents. Maricha actually represents the sinful tendencies that a sadhaka may have, which may be there even after we come into the practice of devotional service. Even after we take to the process of Krishna consciousness, sometimes those sinful tendencies may keep coming time and again. But then by the arrow of the Lord, these sinful tendencies will be shot back like that. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he compares Lord Ramachandra in one of his commentaries to a very powerful lion. And the devotees of the Lord to be like the cub of a lion. Now if we have seen the behavior of a cub of a lion, it is explained that even when the cub is very, very small, that element of courage is so strong in that cub, that element of being a Viryavan is so strong in that cub, that even when that cub sees a huge elephant, he just wants to pounce on that elephant and give him a challenge. Because, that is built in him. Similarly, Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he compares Lord Ramachandra to a lion. And the devotees of the Lord, they are also like little cub. And the elephant is compared to the material energy. So the devotees of the Lord actually have that courage to give a fight to the material energy. Because the material energy is working 24/7. And sometimes, if that element of courage, when that element of courage subsides in the heart of the devotee, that is when she wins. But the devotees of the Lord, they are very, very strong. And they have that courage to keep fighting, to keep giving that challenge to the material energy. And because the devotees, they have taken shelter of the Supreme Personality very strongly, they have that courage. They have that element of being Viryavan. So everyone is wondering, we just have completed two qualities. We'll try to complete a few more. So the third quality that Valmiki Muni mentions is that of being Dharmagya. Dharmagya means one who knows the intricacies and subtle nuances of religious practices, of dharma. What has to be done, what is not to be done, when one has to behave in what particular manner, that is the subtle intricacies of dharma. That is known as being Dharmagya. So Lord Ramachandra, it is explained that he was a great Dharmagya. He knew his duty as a son. As a son, he was very obedient. So when he was called by Maharaj Dasharath into the kingdom, into the palace of Kaikeyi, and Maharaj Dasharath explains to him that this is what has transpired and you will have to go into the forest for 14 years of exile. It is explained that Lord Ram, he just walks back with the same expression that he had while he was coming in. No questions asked. Why so? What happened? Abhi tomorrow is the coronation ceremony. Why all of a sudden? I mean, we may get perturbed if something of that sort happens in our life. But then Lord Ram, he was perfectly obedient. He perfectly knew the intent of his spiritual master. He was obedient to the instructions of his spiritual master. He knew those subtle nuances of dharma. So the instance is explained that when Vishwamitra Muni, he takes Ram and Lakshman into the palace of Janak Maharaj, and there is this big huge bow, the Shiva Dhanush, lying on the carriage. Now there is a huge description of what that whole Shiva Dhanush was and how heavy it was. It took 8,000 very able-bodied men to simultaneously push the carriage on which that bow was placed. And after pushing that carriage for some distance, they had to take rest for some time before they would again get up to push it. So that was the Shiva Dhanush. So Vishwamitra Muni, he takes Ram and Lakshman to the palace of Janak Maharaj, and he instructs Lord Ram, Vatsya Ram Dhanur Pashya. O Lord Ram, O Ram, go and have a look at the bow. Now it is described that there are three categories of a disciple. The first category of the third class, or the lowest category of a disciple, is when he is given some instruction, he questions the instruction. You are asking me to go and have a look at this bow. Don't you know what this bow is? Such a heavy bow. And why are you asking me? Ask someone else. And why are you asking me now? And before so many people, what if I am not able to lift the bow? So he doesn't ask any questions. That is the third class disciple. The second class disciple, level higher than the third class, is when he is instructed something, he just does it as it is. Vatsya Ram Dhanur Pashya. O Ram, go and have a look at the bow. He goes, has a look, comes back, had a look. No. The first class disciple is one who understands the intent of his spiritual master. So Lord Ram here, he walks up to that bow and effortlessly he lifts the bow, he tries to string the bow, and as he tries to string the bow breaks apart with a huge, huge noise like that. So that is how Lord Ramchandra, he exemplifies the quality of being dharmagya. And then he also exemplifies the quality of being dharmagya by protecting Mother Sita when she wants to, when she wants to come to the forest. First she is denied, no, better you be stayed. It is me who has been exiled. But then upon her insistence, she is also taken along. And then going forward, when she is actually kidnapped by Ravan, Lord Ramchandra goes through so many trials and tribulations. And, there is a whole war that takes place just to rescue Mother Sita. So that is living up to the subtle intricacies of dharma. Next quality that Valmiki Muni describes about Lord Ramchandra is being kritagya. That how Lord Ram, he is very grateful. Lord Ram is very grateful to anything and every little thing that is being done for him. So when Hanumanji, he is instructed to go and find the whereabouts of Mother Sita, and he is successful, he goes to the Ashok Vatika and he manages to locate her, and he comes back. It is described in the Kamba Ramayana, the whole verse is in Tamil, but then the translation goes that how when Hanumanji comes before Lord Ram, he sees how Lord Ram is in such anxiety and he shouts, "Found Sita I! Found Sita I!" And Lord Ramchandra is, kind of confused. Why is Hanumanji speaking in such terms? Found Sita I. And he's asking that, why can't you say I found Sita, or Sita has been found, like that. So then Hanumanji, he mentions that, I know that you are in such great distress, and therefore it is my responsibility to first of all mitigate your distress. And therefore, the first word that I mentioned was found, which gives a solution to your distress. That, the whole search is now complete. Sita has been found. Then Lord Ram asks, but then why didn't you say that found I Sita? Then Hanumanji says that, who am I? I am just a instrument. Actually, everything is happening by your prowess, by your power. And therefore, I mentioned to you, found Sita I. Like that. And then Lord Ramchandra, he just embraces Hanumanji and he says to Hanumanji that at this point of time, this is all that I can give you. I am away from my kingdom of Ayodhya, and therefore this is all that I can reciprocate to you. So that exemplifies the quality of gratefulness. And then when Vibhishan comes to surrender to the Lord, Lord Ramchandra actually coronates him. That is before even the war that has taken place. Vibhishan is coronated, and while coronating Vibhishan, Lord Ramchandra is in tears. And everyone is confused. Why is Lord Ram crying while coronating Vibhishan? Then Lord mentions that back in Kishkindha, I coronated Sugriva as the king of Kishkindha. Now I am coronating you as the king of Sri Lanka. But I am very much lamenting that I could not coronate Jatayu as the king. Jatayu, who did all this great sacrifice, no, I could not make him the king. Lord Ram was so grateful for Jatayu. In fact, even Mother Sita, it is explained that after the whole episode is over and they come back to Ayodhya, and there is celebration. There is celebration in Ayodhya upon the return of Sita Ram Lakshman. And seeing the red gulal that is being showered in the air, Mother Sita starts crying, remembering the blood that Jatayu had shed for her cause, being grateful to the sacrifice of Jatayu. Like that. So that is how Lord Ram and Mother Sita, they exemplify the quality of being kritagya. And finally, the next quality is that how he is satya vakya, being truthful to his word. So when he was exiled, the whole Ayodhya wanted him not to go. Lakshman said that I will kill Dashrath. No, just forget everything. I'll finish off Dasarath and the whole chapter will be closed, and let the coronation take place as it is. Nothing doing. No. Once he has said okay, he just went ahead. Even Kaushalya, she wanted him not to go. All the residents, Bharat came all the way from Ayodhya to Chitrakoot to appease Lord Ram and returned back to Ayodhya. But then Satya Vakya, not going back on his word. And then finally, Dridavartaha, that he was firm in his vows. And he mentions this, Prabhupada quotes in Chaitanya Charitamrit, Madhya Leela, from Ramayana, Sakra Deva Prapannoyas Tavasmiti Chayachate Abhayam Sarvada Tasmay Dadami Etad Vratam Mama. It is my vow that if one and only one seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. So that is the promise of Lord Ramchandra. Even Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that how he is willing to forgive even a person who has committed the most abominable act, only if one honestly surrenders unto him. So yes, Lord Ram, he gave shelter to a Rakshasa Vibhishan and made him the king of Sri Lanka. And then Sugriv asked him that you are giving such a promise to Vibhishan. I mean, this whole statement was spoken by Lord Ramchandra before the, when all the monkey soldiers, they were having doubts that, here is Vibhishan coming. What if he is a spy of Ravana? But then Lord Ramchandra mentions, no, that because he has just come to surrender unto me, I will give him my shelter. And then Sugriva asks Lord Ram, what if tomorrow Ravana comes and surrenders unto you? You are already giving this kingdom to Vibhishan. You are giving the kingdom of Sri Lanka to Vibhishan. What if Ravana comes and surrenders unto you? And then Lord Ram says that I will give him the kingdom of Ayodhya. That is the words of Sri Ramchandra. So yes, there are many more such qualities, but we don't have so much time. So these six qualities that is described, konvasmin sampratam loke gunavan kascha viryavan dharmagyascha kritagyascha satyavakya dridavratah. And Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is also giving us this promise that if we practice the process of Krishna consciousness properly as per the instructions that he has given in his books, then we'll also meet all perfection in our lives. So this is just a description of six qualities that we saw. And Valmiki Muni is describing in these, in a sweet voice, like we mentioned, these beautiful pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So just to summarize, from the beginning we saw that how initially Valmiki Muni is compared to two things. He's compared to a cuckoo sitting on the branch of poetry of the tree of Vedic literatures. And in his sweet voice, he's reciting the sweet pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. And then he's compared to a powerful lion who is resounding the Ramakatha Nadam, the spiritual sound vibration of the pastimes of Supreme Lord, which has the potency of removing all the darkness within our hearts and awarding us Param Gatim. And we saw the first six qualities described by Valmiki Muni, that how his Gunavan, in Gunavan we saw the quality of being Saushilya, even though he was such a person born out of a very high parentage, having a huge amount of wealth and having extreme degree of wisdom, still he was willing to come down and mix with people in general and award them his mercy. Then was the quality of being Viryavan, being courageous, and how the Supreme Lord, he was very much courageous in his attempts to kill all these demons at Chitrakoot. And then the quality of being Dharmagya, how he was obedient as a son to Maharaj Dashrath, to Mother Kaikeyi, how he was obedient to his spiritual master, understood the mood and intent of the spiritual master, and he breaks this vow in the palace of Maharaj Janak. And then further we saw the example that how he has this quality of being Kritagya. He was grateful to Hanumanji, he was grateful to Jatayu. And then his Dridavrata, Satyavakya and Dridavrata. Satyavakya means he lived up to his vows. Even though all the Ayodhya Vasis, they wanted him to not to go from Ayodhya. In fact, the whole Ayodhya had started to move with him, that okay, you'll go to the forest, all of us will also go to the forest. No. But then Satyavakya, he was true to his words. And then Dridavrata, he doesn't fail to fulfill his promise. And we saw that how he was willing to even give shelter to Ravana, even if Ravana came and surrendered to him, like that. Of course, there is a more lot to come tomorrow. I took the opportunity to just open up the scene, but then tomorrow we'll hear from more exalted devotees, more senior devotees like Vraj Vihari Prabhu, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, which will definitely enhance our consciousness of surrender towards Lord Ramachandra. Thank you all very much. Jai Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai.